Today's scripture reading will be taken from 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21. For he made him who knew no sin to sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Amen.
Amen.
Before special music this morning, Sister Etta Herbalingo is going to introduce our guest speaker.
Happy Sabbath, everyone.
Happy Sabbath.
First of all, I'm so grateful to God for leading us to this church.
Amen.
To help my daughter Rihanna on her stay here, and just a blessing. Our speaker today, Brother Victor Cabanilla, is the head elder or the interim pastor of Chicago Seventh-day Adventist Church, where Rihanna and I used to go to church for about 3 years. And for the last 3 years that I was there, I didn't really get to know the couple in a conventional way, like knowing who are they and everything. But Jesus just shines to this couple. Amazing. I remember it became my favorite when I came across this verse by Apostle Paul on 1 Corinthians 2:2, where Apostle Paul says, "I determined not to know anything about you, lest Jesus and him only crucified."
Yeah.
I thought that, you know, as we come to church, you know, let us know more about Jesus. Let us look at him and him only, and not our brothers and sisters, because we fall, right? And so getting to know Kuya Victor each time he speaks, I'm just always in awe, because he is so passionate about Jesus.
Amen.
And so when he started becoming our speaker for our teleconference every Monday, feel free to join us. I get to fall in love over and over to Jesus, because he speaks only about Jesus. And so I tell, like, Kuya Victor, I mean, please come and visit us, especially on Rihanna Spinning. And so we're so blessed that he's here. But Ate Poring, we have the wife here, Purita. And
amen.
Amen.
This couple, you know, is so humbling to me. Their humility is just amazing. And I wish I'll be like them. It's just Jesus that shines unto them. I just get to know that Ate Puring, we call her, is a retired chief financial officer of a reputable company in Chicago. I was like, wow, really? I didn't see that to her. Never. I just see Jesus in her.
Amen.
And the same thing with Brother Victor. He is the executive director of nursing of our hospital in Chicago. We have four or three hospitals in Chicago, Adventist Hospital. And he's just, I don't see that to him. They're so, I just see Jesus in them for sure. And so today, I'm so excited to see more about Jesus in his message.
Amen.
So our prayer, my prayer, is for us to be blessed by his message. Thank you.
Amen.
Good morning or good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I would say good morning, because my Chicago time, it says 5 to 11. So there's a gap between you and me now. Shall I go and preach, or I look on your statement of mission here and that's my sermon? What happened? They just printed it over here. It's another dimension anyway. Thank you for the introduction, and thank you, Pastor Gomez, for you're so kind to give me the pulpit. I know I feel that way because when I have visitors in my church, I give them away and I just step aside and listen and enjoy it. I like to introduce myself because I think there's a missing link. I am a grandfather. I have 3 grandkids. Amen. My youngest one is a cute little baby girl, 7 weeks or almost 8 weeks. And it's a beauty to see kids grow. Because when I was raising my kids, I have less time than when I have now my grandkids. So, you know, when I came to your church, I feel like I belong to this place. I looked through your program, I said, oh wow, a Joy of Troy, right? Oh, I love that one, Joy of Troy. Very few Adventist churches have that name, you know? You have a unique name. And I hopefully it carries to your life and your presence and your fellowship. Before I say anything from the Word of God, I invite you to pray with me. Our loving Father who art in heaven, we thank you for the unfailing love, for the unchanging nature of you, your Son, and the Spirit. Because of them, we are now partakers of the divine nature, a member of the Trinity. What a privilege that we may learn to worship you forevermore. Amen. I selected this passage in 2 Corinthians 5:21. If you think about this, how Apostle Paul wrote it, listen to what it says. For our sake, he made him, the Father made his Son, to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. You know that one text? That's the whole Bible. Yes. You notice that? One part is the Old Testament and the second part is the New Testament. Now the sermon is over. But I like you know the words of God is a wonder. There's more than the superficial in the text. When I was a young Christian, not that I'm too old, I'm not that old. When I was a young Christian, I just memorized texts. And beyond memory, I didn't realize that there's depth in them. There's more than superficial. I know some of you are teachers. Oh, by the way, I have 2 children, they are married. My daughter is a music teacher. She's a teacher teaching elementary and some high schoolers. And my other son, my only son, he's a physician. I hardly see him because he spends so much time caring for patients. He's also married. But the relationship of the Father with us is amazing. Just like the song that says, it's always amazes us. Because notice the text. For our sake, the Father of all glory made his Son the treasure of himself to be seen. Oh, you and I don't deserve anything before God. Before him, we are nothing. We're nothing. But the one who came to this world did not know any sin, did not commit any murmuring, did not do any complaint. What he did was when he was suffering the most, he delighted it. That's a mystery for me. Because when I suffer, I cry. It's hurt. But when God suffers, he rejoices. In fact, this text tells me that when Christ died, I am alive forevermore. Why is that? That's the mystery of righteousness, right? Because me, that is rebellious, that hates God, I am the enemy of God, now he made me the friend, a favor of his eyes, a precious in his sight. Now let's go to another text. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul, likely being persecuted, suffering all that he can take from human inflections, has these words for us today. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 29 to 30. So that human being might boast in the presence of God, that no human being might boast in the presence of God. And because of him, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God and redemption and sanctification and redemption, so that it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. You know, a lot of us Christians, sometimes in our years of walk with God, we feel that we are deserving because we did so many things in our mission work, even probably giving all for Christ. But remember what this text is. No human being might boast in his presence. Because of him, we are in Christ, who became us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption. I think he's just expanding the text in 2 Corinthians 5:21. Now here is wisdom. The wisdom of the world is foolishness. Because when they crucified the Lord of glory, they think they are doing their wisdom. But God shows that in their infinite power, including the Roman power, including this earth's power, is poured upon the Son of God. But in that weakness, in that sovereign submission to the Father, the Son of God shines the more. Actually, Calvary is the greatest revelation of God's glory. Because in that moment, when everything has to be given up, even the life of the Son of Man, he said, Father, into your hand I commit my spirit. But before he committed his spirit, this is the prayer for you and me. Father, forgive them. What a joy, isn't it, to be forgiven? What a joy. Now Apostle Paul goes on to say again in Ephesians chapter 1. Notice his expression. Apostle Paul is also one of the greatest apostles that will teach us a lot of lessons from the Word of God through Jesus our Lord. Here again we see in Ephesians chapter 1. That would be 17 to 19. Notice the expressions of the Apostle Paul to the church of Ephesus. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, having your eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which you are called, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and verse 19, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power for us to believe. Notice the impetus and the power that's coming to this text. The immeasurable greatness of his power towards us who believe. I hope that today as you read this text, you open your heart to Jesus, because now the sovereign power of grace in the presence of the Spirit of God is come to your life. And if you don't resist it, you will be in flame for God. You will be on fire. And you will not fear anymore, because there is one that you know with you, in you, and abiding in you, and ever present with you. And in the word of Apostle Paul, neither death, nor trials, nor persecution, nor sickness, or joy, anything else can separate us from that love. That is the presence of the Spirit of God. By the way, we usually say every good thing comes from God. You know the word good thing there in the Bible? Actually, it's the Holy Spirit. When you talk about God in your life, we barely realize it. But he is the one talking for us, because we are now surrendered to him. And now we are willing to be the vessels of earthly weaklings. But now it's the power that flows from the throne above, from the fountain of joy, from the throne, when Christ opened the gates of paradise, when he removed the veil that separates from him. When the veil was taken out from the earthly physical temple, it opens the third heaven. Because Jesus says, I am praying with you, and I like your prayer here, because it really connects to this power of God. Now another word from the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Let's turn back to 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Amen. I hope that you take this word literally, because it is. When God created through Christ this creation, this universe with even our amazing us, with all these billions of galaxies, there are even suns, stars that are millions brighter than our sun. You know what? Christ only created by his word. Let there be light. And there was light. And the Spirit did it. But you notice that this word, though, this is different. This is even more powerful. Because now it's through the precious blood of the Son of God, shed on Calvary, died for us, sealed by the Spirit. Notice what it says. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. You know, the most powerful event or anything that happens in this universe is this thing. You are a new creation because the blood of Christ made it so. And the blood of Christ, because he is the Son of Man, now because he is a Son of God, this unity of the Spirit and the Godhead became infinite. Therefore, the blood that makes you a new creation is infinite. And nothing can separate you from the love of God.
Amen.
Nothing. Even death. Because the second death is already destroyed by the blood that was shed at Calvary's cross. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. I hope that this church and all of us will bring a new kind of love to our neighbors, to each other. Because this love is pure, holy, and undefiled. No wonder Jesus says, love your enemies. Because remember, when he died, we are the enemies. He died for the ungodly. And when he sealed it with that infinite humiliation of the Son of Man, he said, I am yours, and you are mine. And you can feast with joy, eternal joy, indestructible joy, invincible joy, because I am joy. And now my Spirit, the divine presence of Trinity, comes to you in the name of the Father, the power of the Son of God, and the sweet fellowship of the Spirit. Love one another. Ephesians 2:10. You know, I was in this seven churches tour last year. I know it's sad to know that when you go there, all I see you now is that the places of Ephesus, Galatians, all these churches, they're just rocks and they're just nothing. And all you see there is generally Muslim, doesn't barely have the Christians anymore. And you know what, in this thought when I was over there, I said, the Church of Christ is moving. It's moving. It's not staying in any place. You know, the other church, the other religions, they are stay there. They are there. They are stuck there. But the Church of God, you and I, the body of Christ, we're moving. We're moving. Because it's a movement. Amen. The Seventh Adventist is a movement. That's why I barely call it denomination. Because I see it as a movement. Going forward, upward to heaven.
Yes.
It's like, probably heaven is our goal, right? I hope that you are still a stranger here. Amen. You didn't settle here for a permanent place. We're all strangers here. And when God calls us, we should be willing to give up. Go. You know, our Sabbath school, I enjoyed the Sabbath school sharing in our class. I almost said something, but my wife said, don't say so much because you are the preacher. But this one thing I say, I didn't say it, but I want to say it to you because we are all now in one body, in the body of Christ. Moses, deepest longing of Moses is not his leadership, it's not his wisdom, it's not even the power God gave him. You know what he said? You know it. The prayer, the deep prayer of his longing is, show me your glory. Show me your glory. Now the second appearance of Moses was when Christ was about to, before he was about to be crucified. Do you know what Moses told Jesus? I hope you can understand the way it was taken, because that was shown to only three disciples. So there must be something very deep and serious and confidential. It's only among them. You know the way I gathered with this Elijah and Moses thing, the transfiguration? Moses probably said to Jesus, "My suffering is not even comparable to what you will go through. But your love amazes me. Because I dreamed to see the Canaan that you promised, but now you brought me to the greater place that I never thought of. Now you have me in glory, in your presence, in your very heart of the third heavens." And Elijah probably said similarly, "My king Ahab was after me, and that Jezebel, wicked woman, was after my life. And I would even wish to be dead. But Lord, what an amazing grace. You even translated me to heaven. Now I'm walking here." Yes, you have not gone through the infinite, indescribable suffering and pain that I may be gained. I may be eternally with you. And probably Elijah would have probably said, "Yes, your prayer is also for me." So you see these things? But now there's a human reaction. When Peter saw it, and you know what Peter did, right? And said, "This will be a temple here." Peter wants this permanency here on this life. But I think he eventually learned it. Because when he starts preaching about Christ, he has these wonders of the redeeming grace. Ephesians 4, more about the words of Apostle Paul. Ephesians 4, 22 to 24. This will be a challenge for us. Because if we believe that we are indeed a new creation, there's something that will happen to us. Say Ephesians 4, 22 and 24, and hopefully happening now. "To put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life, and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness." Now, there is a power here that's telling us, because the greatest power that happens, more powerful than the creation that he did, Christ in creation of this world, in this universe, is this power to be made like himself by the Spirit in terms of his life and death and resurrection and glory. Because of his triumph over the power of darkness, he destroyed eternal death in a union that will never be separated. He made us, what you call in the Old Testament, the deserted woman, the woman that I will vomit from my mouth, the Laodicean church that I, if not repent, I will vomit. But now this is what he did. He took my place, your place, and now the power comes in, the renewal of your mind. You know, if this mind is not changed into his glory, we will never see the face of Christ in glory. This is a necessity. I hope that you see this sense of this text. No one in heaven will be in heaven with the old self. All who will be in heaven will be those new self. And this new self is actually a creation by the blood of Christ. No wonder Apostle John has this vision. "I saw the Lamb is slain from the foundation of the world. From Adam to the end of time, when judgment is over and the day of probation is gone, all those who go to heaven in power and glory will have a new self. And their name is the Bride of the New Jerusalem." They have the Song of the Lamb. The Song of the Lamb. Another point I'd like to bring is in Colossians chapter 2. I hope you are okay. You are all right?
Yes.
Okay, good. Colossians chapter 2, 12. And read this text. Let's just read together. For Colossians chapter 2, 12 to 15. "Having been buried with him in baptism, in which you are also raised by him, or with him, through faith in the powerful working of God, who raised him from the dead. And you, me, who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, or the human spirit, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses, by canceling the record of death that is stood against us with its legal demands. Thus, this he set aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in him. You know, many Christians today, they are baptized by water, but I always wonder if they are really baptized by the Spirit of God. There are so many water Christians today. They think they will go to heaven. But with this text, notice what it says. We are baptized by his death, by the power working of God. The resurrected power of Christ when he rose from the grave. His triumph over all powers. He opened them up, put them on open shame. Now this is the wonderful part. Forgiving us all our trespasses. I would even dare tell you that you are an elect of God. The day you were born until the day you die, or translated, your sins are already dealt with. They're all gone. They're forgiven. That's what Satan comes back to us and keeps saying us, hey, you are deserving of that to die. You are a sinner. But let's just tell him, yes, but somebody took my place. Thank you. I'm rejoicing more because now the Son of God, now the Son of Man, he's now my brother in heaven. Glory, glory, glory is my claim. He nailed them. He destroyed them. That you, when you come to him, he'll make you alive. How will this happen? Let me give you a witness. You probably know this. When Christ created the world, when he speak, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. Now, when he speak, because the Son of God is the Son of Man. Well, let's put it this way. Christ is given by the Father all the authority of creation and redemption. Okay? But everything that Christ did, that comes from his mouth, that he did for us, the Spirit makes it real. So when Jesus says, with Christ, before he became man, created this world, and he says, let there be stars, moons, and all these beautiful things for Adam and Eve, the Spirit made it. Same way with redemption. When Christ died to the world and said, he triumphed over all rulers and authority, he disarmed them. He took away the power of death to us, the claim of the devil for us, because we are sinners, right? He took that away. So now flows the Spirit in you who believes. Because the Spirit actually is the one that brings you faith. I think we discussed in the Sabbath school lesson, somebody brought this, the sin of this against the Spirit. That's the only sin that separates us from God. If we are not forgiven, we will never enter heaven. So let's rush to be forgiven. Let's not wait till tomorrow to be forgiven. Because there is joy. Because God will make you alive. He will make you alive into his workmanship. The beauty of his work. The price of his redemption. The glorious work of grace that comes in you as believers. Because the Spirit of God is in you. Abide with you. That's why Christ told the disciples, I have to leave, because the promise of the Father doesn't come if I stay. I am going to him. And when the Father's glory came to Jesus in heaven, and the Father said, all worship him, the Spirit now has no more restraint to come to us, because sin has brought a restraint between God and us. And when the sin is taken away, it flows, like what we said, from Aaron's head when he was anointed as priest. It poured oil on his head, but you know the oil dripped down. And Jesus is our head. He is our high priest. He is the head of the body. And so when God the Father poured this spirit of gladness in his life, the spirit of infinite joy is now pouring to the church. Oh, Laodicea, let's run from this Laodicea sickness and get into the love of Christ. Get it there. Get it there. And now I'd like to read from Apostle Peter. 1 Peter 1, chapter 1, 5 to 9. Let's get a word from the Apostle Peter. The one who denied his Lord, but the one who is in his ministry. I think that this is a strange thing that happened with Apostle Peter, because he's a very spoken man. He learned a lot of lessons by talking too much. And then now, you know how his life is? It's gradually becoming more and more the Savior's life as he goes through his witness. But I'd like to quote a couple of this because it's a wonderful text. In 1 Peter 5 to 9, who by God's power, that's referring to the church now, are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes through it, is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though, notice in verse 8, it's even more amazing. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him. Yes. And notice what will follow. And rejoice with joy. Yes. That is inexpressible and filled with glory. Every time I read this text, I get my bumps. I get excited because, yes, I haven't seen the Savior physically. Yes, I wasn't there 2,000 years ago when he did this wonderful work of grace. But now the Spirit of God lightens my mind, lightens my heart. He enlivened me to live for him, to show the glorious work that he is doing, that he has done, he is doing in me, in you, and in the body of Christ. It says, with joy, rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory. Can you imagine this text, how the Apostle Peter, soon to be crucified upside down, saying these words to the church? The more he suffered, the greater was his joy. Same with Apostle Paul. Same way with Jesus, actually. Because when Jesus says, if you desire to follow me, take up your cross. Because I have my cross. I'm going now, and you will see it. And when you see it, I hope that you too will do it. You are willing even to lose your life for my sake. But let me read the text again. You who believe in him may rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory. Brothers and sisters, if this word, if this text will kind of inflame your soul to Christ, this is now the beginning of heaven. We are now in heaven. The Spirit of God is the guarantor of this word, that if we believe that we haven't sinned, if we love him when we haven't sinned, now the rejoicing, the spirit of joy, the heart of the very God in heaven comes in you by believing in his redemption, by accepting the offer of his salvation, by now being forgiven forevermore of all your sins. He will wash you by the blood, and now he makes you a new creation. Now it is the object of his love. Now we become his bride. He is the groom. He is the head. And now as he poured oil in the head of the priest of Aaron in all times, he poured the oil of gladness at the head of the priest, Jesus our Lord. Christ the Lord of glory is filled, as we mentioned in our Sabbath school today, the measure of the Spirit in him is immeasurable. Because of that, as the Spirit comes to the church, it's also immeasurable. I think the challenge is, do we allow him to lead the work of grace, the amazing grace that will work in us? Now this is my last text. I like to end my sermons usually in Revelation, because you and I are looking for this moment, right? When the day finally, when this Bible will be gone, when knowledge will be ended, when prophecy is over, and now face to face with the Lord of glory. Revelation 22:12-14. My Bible is, I think it's the ESV. I left my King James. My favorite is King James because it is more meaningful. But since my King James is so worn out, somebody told me, why don't you buy another Bible? But I bring it once in a while because I love it. But anyway, this is ESV. Verses 12, this is the last chapter, Revelation 22:12-14. Behold, I am coming soon, bringing my recompense with me, to repay its one for what he has done. I am, now this word here, Alpha and Omega, is Jesus. It's not the Father anymore. The Alpha and Omega in Revelation 1 is the Father. Now this is Jesus himself. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. And 14, blessed are those who wash their robes. In the King James Version, it says, blessed are those who keep the commandments. But I think they are related, because if you are not washed, how do you keep the commandments? Nope. So they are really one, right? Now, I think the point here is, because verse 10 is the end of probation, this is now the end of the work of God, of the high priesthood of Christ. It's just it's just natural that he's coming back, right? I am coming back. But those who keep the commandments, or those who have washed their robes, that they may have the right to the tree of life. Yes. It didn't say a privilege. It says right. In fact, it's a mandate for those who are already regenerated, or who have made new creation by the blood of Christ. You have a right. Those who wash their robes with the blood of the Lamb and now enjoy and keep his commands. You know, when you see Jesus, the law actually is not a law that is thou shalt not do this, do that. Actually, it's the delight of the soul who are saved. It's the most joyful expression that we can give to God, keeping his commandments. Actually, you notice the Sabbath is a commandment that only taken by faith. I cannot explain why God said the Sabbath, but I know why. He wants me to be with him. Remember when he created all things, and I wasn't there. And then, Adam and Eve, come and enjoy me. I brought all these wonders so that you can see me and worship me and rejoice with me. Enjoy me. The same way with redemption. When God forgives us with the blood of Christ, and now comes the washing of regeneration and the work of redemption in our hearts, recreating us in the new image of Christ himself, the Spirit brings us this spirit of unsearchable, unimaginable love of the Father through his Son by the Spirit. And I hope as you worship day by day, may the Spirit of glory share with you with the unsearchable riches of Christ. Because in essence, in reality, Christ is the invisible, spiritual, eternal one that loves us from eternity. Oh, love that never fails. Love that is invincible. Love that overcomes death. Love that is even better than life itself. Oh, the love of Christ. Hope that you deal with the love of Christ through the scriptures, and by reading it, you learn to enjoy the blessings of the covenant given to Father Abraham. No more cursed. I know that there will be no more curse in heaven. But today, even we face the lot of curses in our lives, among our work and ministry for the church, there's a better picture that Christ says, I am made your blessing. And the blessing I give you is life, endless, and immeasurable love. Be washed with my blood and enter into my paradise. As in the word of King Solomon, in Solomon 6, verse 3, I am my beloved, my beloved is mine. Oh, I hope that you learn to love the love of one who loves us from eternity, forever and ever. I hope that the blessings of your missions or ministry ends with this joy, to the light of your soul, in the glory of the Father, the mercy and grace of Christ, and now the sweet, conquerable, and victorious joy that the Spirit brings to our soul. I pray that these blessings will stay with you, abide with you, and see you in heaven above. Amen.
Amen.
We thank you for giving your dear son, now he's also our brother, the closest one by his blood for all eternity. Thank you for the Spirit of God that may sweeten our fellowship in our ministry, that our joy may be greater until you come face to face in glory. Amen.
Amen.
Dismiss us, Lord, with blessing we pray, as from thy worship we go our ways. Guide in life's conflict all through the day. Save in thy kingdom, thine be the praise. Oh,